From the Professional Disc Golf Association, this is PDGA Radio News.
For the week of July 3, 2006, it is the Disc Golf News. I'm Brian Sullivan. Well, at least I'm the voice of Brian Sullivan, as I am on vacation for the next couple of weeks, but we've got something special lined up for you. It is the best of 2005's 60-second clinic. And over the next couple of weeks, we are going to deluge you with excellent clinics given by some of Disc Golf's top pros during last season's radio show. So we will begin this week with two of Disc Golf's finest for sure. Two-time Women's World Champion Des Redding will be joining us, along with U.S. National Champ David Fellinger. And we will begin with Des Redding and her 60-second clinics from 2005 right after this.
Controlled Distance has a new name. Discraft presents the Surge Maximum Distance Driver in the new ESP line of grippy, durable, high-tech plastic. One throw and you'll know. The Surge was engineered for one purpose, to allow the average disc golfer to throw farther with more control. And the new ESP plastic means it's grippy, yet built to last. The Surge Maximum Distance Driver, available now from Discraft, the world leader in disc sports.
It is our summer special, the best of the 2005 60-second clinic. We are beginning this time with a bunch of tips from two-time women's world champion Des Redding. She's going to be talking about a number of topics, including accuracy, the Anheuser shot, getting more distance, picking your focus point, grips, tailwinds, thumbers, shots, and women being more aggressive in disc golf. So we will begin. Here is Des Redding from last year's 60-second clinic.
Accuracy really, I think, evolves with honing your skills. And so I don't know if it's so much that people are not accurate, it's that they haven't developed the shot to do that they're thinking of. So if right now, if your disc is extremely hyzering, meaning a right to left if you're a right-handed player, then aim 20 more feet. If you're off your mark 20 feet, then aim 20 feet to the right and let it work in. And then you're going to slowly get yourself back on target. Don't sit there and throw at your certain target knowing the fact that your disc usually fades right to left an extra 35 feet. This game is... it's a great game. It can be a very frustrating, it can be a very rewarding game. And so you have to know where you're at in your particular game and your series of stages and work them and then continually go in and in and in. And then you're going to be accurate where you can actually just throw a straight line to that basket. And again, playing catch. I cannot stress enough. Playing catch is the way you'll get more accurate and a better field for the disc flight. One of the basic things that will help you learn an Anheuser throw is when you don't work against your body structure. And what I mean with that is you're wanting to use your Anheuser for a right-handed person that goes from left to right. You want to start on the right far back of the corner of the tee box and extend your plane as you body work and your footwork to carry the line that you're trying to throw with the disc. So basically, start in that far back right corner and then work on in visualizing that arc and really come over the top of the disc for the Anheuser. You're going to have to get a beat-in disc, so find a buddy that says this doesn't work for them anymore, or get something understable. Sometimes those sidewinders, cobras, leopards, these are all great understable discs that you can use to help you learn an Anheuser throw. Nothing quite works better than a beat-up disc. I really prefer a beat-up disc more so than just a fresh, brand-new one that's supposed to be a turning disc. But by starting on the right back corner and extending your footwork on a plane that you're already trying to succeed might bring you better success. Really, the plastic that's out there right now, some of the new plastic, they are actually creating more distance for players just with the amount of spin that you can get on it. Really, it's tough. It's timing. Disc golf is a series of timing, technique, and smoothness. So it's not necessarily the bigger throwers that have the great distance. It's the one that have the most technique and timing with it. So you have to really work on transferring your back shift of your weight to your front shift and creating this what is called the hit. And basically, you need to drive from your left foot and then that's where your initiation starts after the crossover. So drive off that back foot and really think of extending your elbow through the target, and then once you do that, your release point should automatically snap out or hit. It's called the hit, and the disc just wants to fling out. And once you can kind of get that all in a really smooth, fluid motion, you'll just get more distance. My focus during my drives, I'm a person that picks out the farthest point in the smallest point that I want to hit. So I extend my visual, my third eye in a sense, down past where I want to go. Hole one is a very finicky, tight little hole, and there's one particular tree that would be, in theory, the perfect line to hit. And so I focus on that, and I never throw a drive until I feel like I am really calm and centered and focused on that last point that I want it to go to. If it is in an open field, it's a little more tricky. It's very easy to find focal points when you are in woods, tighter situations. So the spatial focus point when you're out in the open field is a wonderful thing to do, because that's where you can tend to be sloppy when you're just in this big open field and you can just feel like you can crush it. You're going to have more success when you can visualize that open field, visual flight path or a point in space, and work on that. Grips are a very important aspect of the game. You can use two basic ones. When I drive, I use what is called a power grip, and basically I tuck all my fingers underneath the rim of the disc, and I actually put my thumb mostly towards the center. I feel like it gives me a lot of power, and I use that on my drives, mid-ranges, and some of my longer approaches from maybe 180 and in. Anything closer, like maybe 80 feet to a putt, I would use what is considered a control grip, and that I just put the index finger on the outside of the rim, and basically the three fingers are fanned on the bottom of the grip. The theory behind this is when you actually release it, the last point to touch the disc is going to be this index finger, and if you release nice and smooth and follow through, you're going to have it go right to the target. A tailwind will usually affect the drive with a series of air bounces. You can actually get a lot more distance if you can get it up just enough. It's a very finicky line, and it's hard to really read to see what is going to be the right distance of height on the drive that you need to get. But basic things, when you do have a tailwind on your drive, you want to make sure that you have it up enough so it's able to ride that wind current and create the entire flight path. Likewise, when you have a headwind, you want to keep it a little bit lower so it doesn't actually lift up and get carried away. But the tailwind, it'll create you a lot more distance if you can control your disc and not overextend. You have a tendency to want to throw really hard with a tailwind and ride out for all it's worth, and mostly it might just roll over and then get smashed down by that tailwind. The thumber. Yeah, thumber. I love the thumber for the non-traditional shot to get out of trouble. Basically, obviously, I got to have a hole in there, but I threw it like three or four times during the round today, and it yielded me great results every time.
Explain what a thumber is and how does it work.
Okay, a thumber works, it's got a million and one names, so I'm going to call it a thumber. Basically, it's an overhand throw. It's like a baseball throw. You put your thumb on the, I'm a right-handed person, so you put your thumb on the inside of the rim of the disc, the faceplate. The side that has the stamp on it goes to the outside or to my right. So the inner side with the rim is to my left. And basically, you throw it like a baseball, softball, and you come up and over your top and you extend at your highest point, usually around the 12 o'clock, 11 o'clock angles. You can use different angles and different release points depending on what hole you need to hit. Basically, you snap on through and it'll twist and turn and it'll land on the face side, working on a left to right clock. A little bit hard, but that's what it works. Go out and try.
And what would be a situation where you would want to use that? Help them to visualize
okay.
What it does.
I would use the thumber in a situation where there is a whole bunch of bushes in front of me or trees or something that would block what I would normally do as a backhand, a forehand, more traditional types of throws. And so this, because you're throwing it on an overhead look of it, it's got a smaller, it's smaller because the disc is actually traveling through the air on its side plate. So it's actually kind of on in a vertical stance instead of the horizontal that a backhand or a forehand would do, allowing me to create, in theory, more spatial holes through a bunch of trouble. It's a trouble shot. So I'm looking to get out of trouble at my highest percentage. And sometimes for me, that yields a better, higher percentage because the disc is thinner traveling on that verticality line. The women's issue with women's play, it's a tough one because I think history and society and women themselves have fallen prey to not being aggressive, and that is one of the things that you need to be when you're a disc golfer. You do need to be aggressive with your shots. You need to put a lot of thought and a lot of body momentum into it. Just being able to propel a disc forward, there's a lot of energy that's built up in that coil, and so women have a tendency through history and through childhood and not to get sweaty, not to want to build up muscles. And we have to, as a gender, get over that and know that it is beautiful to be able to be athletic. Athletic doesn't mean to be mean, to be big. It's actually to be beautiful, to be able to stand upon yourself and work within yourself. And so you need to use those aspects. Women, to create a better throw, really need to drive from their hips and their legs because that's the most powerful part of their bodies, and you need to utilize that and embrace that part of womanhood. And so for women to get into it and improve their game, I think they need to just be aggressive.
It is the PGA Radio News special presentation of the best of the 2005 60-second clinic. We've been listening to two-time women's world champ Des Redding. She is also your current women's world champion. And we will take a short break. When we come back, we will hear a bunch of tips from national champ David Feldberg.
The Champion Sidewinder from Innova is the latest addition to the state-of-the-art Champion line. The Sidewinder is designed for long turnover shots and long-distance rollers. The extra-long glide will add D to your drives no matter how big your arm is. And the Sidewinder is made with Champion line plastic, so it holds up round after round. Your game just got better with the new Sidewinder from Innova, number one in disc golf.
And as promised, we are back with a bunch of tips from U.S. national champ David Feldberg. Some of the tips he's going to be talking about for you this time include better footwork, getting to the top level of the sport, beating the heat, lead card pressures, the scomahawk shot, short stroke putting, uphill putting, and playing in the wet. From last season's 60-second clinic, here is U.S. national champ David Feldberg.
I think footwork is extremely important. It all comes from the feet up. That's basic. If your feet are out of what they call timing or too fast, then you're going to be behind or ahead of your throw. And that's one of the things I had trouble with when I first started. Dave Greenwell would say, oh, you got happy feet. Your feet are moving too much. And he was right. It's more like a graceful timing thing. And you want your body to move. As your right arm goes for its first movement, so does your right foot. And it's the speed of your throw is the speed of your footwork. So if you're throwing fast, you have faster feet. If you're going to throw a slow tee shot, a rock or something, then you're going to throw with slower footwork. And I think a lot of players try to have the same footwork every time, and it throws them off. What is it, kind of commitment does it take to get to the top level of disc golf? If you just don't want to be your local pro and you want to compete with Ken Climo and Barry Schultz every week, I'd say the commitment level is pretty high. These guys' commitment level isn't as high because they've developed their skills. They commit their time, but they've honed them in, and they're not changing anything. If you look at, like, Kenny's bag, it's been the same discs year after year. Now he's added an orc, but, I mean, it's almost the same ones. Not even, like, a T-bird. It's the same T-bird, you know? So you have to get to know your Frisbees. I think that's the first thing. You pick a bag of discs, and you stick with them, and you learn them all the way through, and then you start making backups. That's the first. Then you have to pick styles that are going to work. It doesn't matter how much commitment you put out. If you're picking a style of throwing, putting, or approaching that is not going to work in all conditions, then you've made a mistake. So putting, I'd say emulate the best players. And that was, you know, Ken Climo, Barry Schultz. Before him, Mike Randolph was one of the best putters. And they all push putted. Cam Todd came in the game, push putted. 3 years later, he's a world champion. So I think push putting is a key, and developing a spin putt also for the situations where push putts doesn't work. The top player in the world someday, he's going to be the guy that walks up to a putt and he spins it sometimes. Sometimes he pushes it. There's no question. He doesn't go, well, I'm stronger push putter, I'm a stronger spin putter. It's just putting, and he chooses it for the conditions, the wind, and the angle. And then I think with approaching, another thing I'm just learning is I used to like to walk up and approach, and like a one step into your approach and then throw. But I noticed that Kenny and all the top players and, like, the Wise Cups and the Hammocks, who are really good approachers because they don't have as much distance, the Listmans, they stand at their lie, even if it's 200 feet on the approach, and a stable throw across their body. And that way, there's no, oh, I just yanked it into the trees, or oh, I just yanked it low. It's right there. It's smooth. It's something anybody could do. So emulate a style like that, maybe. And then for driving, that's, you know, I'd say learn to throw with hyzer. That's a key. A lot of people come out and try to get distance by throwing anhyzer right away. If you can learn to throw hyzer and then make hyzer go from hyzer to anhyzer with all your discs and always let them go at the exact same angle, then you'll have a shot at being able to control gaps. Because gaps aren't hit by just lasering them through. Gaps are hit by the players working it just right as it fades across the gap, then it pures it, and then it hyzers in. Or he gets it hyzer through the gap, it flattens up, and then it drifts right. Discs won't do that naturally. You have to have something that you can work. How do you deal with the heat in a tournament round? I deal with the heat two ways. I warm up ahead of time, and then I cool down completely before my tee time. The other trick that I do to get by is I take a towel and I put it in a plastic bag and I freeze it overnight with water. And then all around, I take the rag and put it on my head and my ears. And when you put that ice on your ears and your neck, it really cools you down. Right, but on your wrists, your legs, this is the way you get cooled down so you don't get sitting in the sun in a backup too hot. Obviously, you don't wear dark, wear breathable, don't wear your Gore-Tex socks or shoes. And some people prefer a hat, maybe an umbrella to block the sun. But make sure that you have two or three water containers and some food. Because people think you just need water out there when it's hot, but you burn a lot of food up. You need to have some snacks and some fruit. How do you deal with the pressure of being on the lead card the final round and playing hot? I try to dig deep. Because no matter who you are, I don't care if you're Ken Climo, Barry Schultz, you're going to feel pressure. The pressure's out there, everybody's watching, it seems a little hotter because you're thinking about things, and the only way to play through that is to become part of the crowd almost. I talk to the people in the crowd, I don't let them bother me. I drink things, they want to carry my bag, you carry my bag. You want to carry my umbrella, you carry my umbrella. You want to, you know, want me to use your mini, I'll use your mini, you know. I try to get involved with the crowd, so that takes me out of the game with these guys. And I'm not even paying attention to what they do. And now again, I'm walking in the park playing disc golf and trying to forget what happens. Because what happens is when you're in the heat of the battles, if you're just concentrating on your opponents, then you're not going to play well because you're supposed to concentrate on yourself when you're out there and what you can do. And so if you're with the crowd and they're pumping you up and they're telling you all this stuff and blah, 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 and they're high-fiving you, you're back to playing with yourself again and not with the competitors. The Skamahawk. And a lot of people have given me credit for the Skamahawk. I'd like to clarify this ahead of time. The Skamahawk was taught to me by Scott Stokely when I was an amateur in Florida. He was playing in a tournament, and I saw him do it, and then me and him went out to a field, and he showed it to me. So I have to give him his credit where it's due. But what you do is you take a very beat-up driver, and you throw it as high and as hard as you can, turned over like a sky roller. And if it's beat up enough, and you throw it high and hard enough, you'll be able to get it to barrel roll, and instead of going to the ground and roll, it'll go under itself and turn into what looks like a tomahawk. And you can throw it over trees, you can throw it line drive, you can throw it down hills, and it's just like a tomahawk or a thumber for the player who doesn't have a good shoulder. You're just like throwing a jumbo sky roller that turns into a tomahawk, and you can throw it straight up right over trees, and it'll carry out. So go out there and get yourself a flippy disc and throw it as high and as hard as you can, and you'll be surprised what it'll do. You'll love it. When my putts are hitting the cage, and most of my friends, that you know most of them out there, the touring players, we are what we call short-stroking it. And short-stroking it is when you go through your whole routine, and you go to do the putt, and it feels right to you, but you've actually come 6-7 inches from your full extension. So say you have a 20-footer, and you're lining it up, and then you kind of just jab at it, and it looks right, and it feels right, but it's just short. That's because usually if you look at yourself on tape or you can feel it, you're not extending your arm all the way. And if you extend your arm all the way out every time, you won't miss short putts. It's only when you short stroke it do you miss short putts into the cage. So there's no wind. I'm putting uphill about 10 to 15 feet vertical distance, and it's probably about a 25-footer, and we're on the mountain. How do I deal with that? Well, I have a strategy, and my strategy is if you try to rock and move too much when you're putting uphill, it makes you pull your body to the right because it's natural and people miss to the right. That's what happens most of the time, I've noticed. So I intentionally move my foot a little bit to the left side of the basket, and I aim to the left side of the basket. And as I come up to the left side of the basket, when I follow through, the natural pull of the verticalness of throwing uphill and your body going against the plane of the earth causes the disc to move a little bit left or right, and most of the time I hit those center. And even if you hit a left side putt uphill, because it's uphill, it hits it and it drops on the left side. And so right side putts like to spit because of the verticality of gravity pulling it down, so it hits in the chains instead of dropping into the hole. It's outside the bucket and they fall. And so I think that's my strategy. I aim a little left and point my body to the left side of the basket. Try to miss high. How do we deal and prepare for a very wet round? Well, being that I'm from Oregon now, you almost have to prepare every tournament for a wet round. I have a rain poncho folded up in my bag. I have 5 towels and a Ziploc bag in each pocket that stay completely dry. I take discs out of my bag to carry less discs so that I can control my bag and carry extra things and keep them dry. I have my rain flap over my bag. I carry an umbrella. I also have a birdie bag. I have 2 chamois that I carry to keep my hands dry, and a bag of dirt. A birdie bag is similar to the bag of dirt. It's a way for you to get your grip back. When it rains, your hands get cleaned, and then you lose that little grip that you usually have on the disc, and it feels kind of tacky. And that's not how you throw good, because usually you throw with your hand kind of dirty and sweaty. So that brings that feeling back on a wet day. I like to wear shorts, unless it's chilly, maybe some jump pants, but mainly rain pullover, real light, thin Gore-Tex shells, nothing with insulation. And then Gore-Tex socks, Gore-Tex shoes, and a hat in the rain is necessary to keep the water out of the face so you can putt.
And thank you, David Feldberg. That is going to wrap up part one of our two-part Best of 2005 60-Second Clinic, a special presentation from PDGA Radio News. And if you join us next week, you will hear additional tips from Brad Hammock, Kevin McCoy, Pat Vitale, and Al Sugar Shack. Hope you join us next week. I want to thank our sponsors this week, Discraft and Innova Champion Discs. And until next time, I hope you'll get out there, hug some plastic, stay out of the shore, and keep them in the fairway.